Let's pray. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This week's Torah portion is called Parshat Chayei Sarah, Sarah's life, the life of Sarah. And it begins with a simple statement that's found in Genesis chapter 23, verse 1. Sarah lived to be 127 years old, and then she died at Kiryat Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. And so this title, this passage is entitled Chayei Sarah, the life of Sarah, but it is really, in a sense, about her death. It's the end of her life. And Abraham, who has loved his wife during the long years of their marriage and during the long years of waiting for a son, it says these simple words, he went to mourn for her and to weep over her. His love was deep, it was profound. And he wanted the best for her in death as he had in life. Now, I want you to think about the promise that God had given to Abraham. Do you remember that God had told Abraham that Abraham would inherit this land that God was bringing him to? The Lord had said, Lech lecha, get yourself up out of the land that your father had settled in. And move out to a land, God says, that I will show you, a land you don't know. And then there was a time when the Lord said, everywhere that you walk in this land, it will become yours. If you'll just put your foot down, it'll become yours. And so God made a promise to Abraham, not only that he would have sons, not only that he would become the father of mighty nations, but that he would have a land to live in, a land that was promised to him, to his covenant son Isaac, and to his descendants after Isaac as well. And at this moment, you know how much land Abraham owns? Nothing. He owns none of the land that God has promised to him. And he is in the unenviable position of having to bury his wife in a place where he has no plot, he has no cemetery, he has no tomb. Verse 3, then Abraham arose from beside his dead wife and he spoke to the Hittites. They were the people who had settled in that area. And he said to them, I am an alien and a stranger among you. In other words, I don't really have much status, though that term alien and stranger is sort of like resident alien. I have the sort of a right to live here. It's agreed upon, but not a whole lot of other rights. And he says, give to me some property for a burial site here so I can bury my dead. Now, verse 4 in most English translations says something different than give to me. But the Hebrew is very clear that in these transactions and communications that we're going to be reading about in these next few verses, the word that appears over and over again is give. And I think it is in there for a purpose to remind us that God had said he was going to give this land. And so there is a desire to receive, but Abraham does not expect the Hittites to give to him land at no cost. He says, give to me some property for a burial site here so I can bury my dead. The Hittites replied to Abraham, sir, listen to us. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will refuse you his tomb for burying your dead. Each family had their own tomb. And they were saying, you can take Sarah's body and you can put it in one of our tombs. Abraham stood up. And then he bowed down. Isn't that interesting? Before the people of the land, the Hittites. Where it says the people of the land, it's actually talking about the if you will, the town council. And he said to them, if you are willing to let me bury my dead, then listen to me and represent me before Ephron, son of Zohar, so that he will give me the cave of Machpelah, which belongs to him and is at the end of his field. Ask him to give it to me for the full price as a burial site among you. In other words, he's saying, I want you to agree that I can get a piece of land that will be a place where I can bury my wife. Not just any piece, but the cave of Machpelah. Now, verse 10, Ephron the Hittite was sitting among his people, and he replied to Abraham in the hearing of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of his city. In other words, the town council. And he says, no, my lord, listen to me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of my people. Bury your dead. Again, Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron in their hearing, listen to me. If you will, I will give the price of the field. Accept it from me so I can bury my dead there. Okay. So what's really going on? Is Ephron trying to give Abraham a present? It sounds like it, doesn't it? It sounds like Abraham says, I'll pay what it's worth, the full price. And Ephron says, no, I give it to you. Is Abraham refusing a gift from Ephron? Well, let me tell you, if you don't know anything about the Middle East, you might misunderstand what's going on here. Because things are not always what they appear to be. Abraham understands what's going on. Ephron understands what's going on. But you and I might not. If we think these are Floridians talking. Because if someone says, I want to buy something, and the other one says, no, let me give it to you, you'd say, okay. So it sounds like, doesn't it, that Ephron wants to give Abraham this piece of property? Well, the key to understanding this whole thing is found in the next few verses. Remember, Abraham says, listen to me, if you will, I will give the price of the field, accept it from me so I can bury my dead. And Ephron answers Abraham and says, listen to me, my lord. So one's saying, listen to me, the other's saying, listen to me. And he says, the land is worth 400 shekels of silver, but what is that between me and you? Bury your dead. Doesn't it sound like Ephron is just very generous? You know, to think of how generous he is, Hertz calculates that based on some ancient numbers that the average working man earned 5 or 6 shekels a year. So this is about the price of 80 years' labor. It changes the equation a little bit, doesn't it? Okay, but what's going on? Let's see. Verse 16. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to look into your translation and see if it's close enough to be accurate. It says, Abraham listened to Ephron's terms, and he weighed out for him the price that Ephron had spoken. In the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weight current among the merchants. So now we know what was happening. This was not a generous man, Ephron, trying to graciously offer to Abraham a gift. This was someone saying what his price was, but doing it in a way that was very specific to their local culture. Now, it's not really such a good deal. And Abraham doesn't negotiate. He accepts the full price. In fact, Ephron has named an exorbitant price, and Abraham doesn't even try to bargain. I think it's fascinating. The only thing I can compare it to are two things. One of them is, if you've ever had to go to a funeral home to make arrangements for a loved one who has died, and not to pick on funeral directors, but the funeral director, you know, starts telling you the prices. And at that moment of vulnerability and loss, it's really not a time for negotiating. And I think there's maybe part of that going on. But another thing that comes to my mind is an experience I had when I went to Jerusalem with Sandy, the first time we went together. And we were in the old city and we were wanting to get a souvenir t-shirt for our son. And I spotted a Coca-Cola t-shirt written in Hebrew in red. And I thought, this is perfect for Chris. And so I went into the market and the Arab vendor named a price and it was, you know, like 20 shekels. Maybe it was 40 shekels. But whatever it was, it seemed really high. It's so high that I just walked away. Well, as I was walking away, he immediately lowered the price in half. So let's say it was 40 shekels. And I walk away, it's like 40 shekels. I don't know, at that time it was probably $20. And I thought, $20 for a t-shirt, that's a lot. Back in the 70s. And so he lowers the price. Now it's 20 shekels. And I'm thinking, wow, I didn't even do anything. And so he got my attention. I come back. And somehow we go back and forth. And I end up getting it for 15 shekels. And I am so proud of myself for this. I pay. We wrap it up. I take it. Now, a few days later, we're in another shuk, another market, and this one is Machane Yehuda, and it's a Jewish market. And I go there, and I see the same t-shirt, and it's 7 shekels. And I go into some of the stores, and it's like 6 shekels. And then I understand what happens. I didn't know what a good deal was. I thought a discount was a good deal. Have you ever made that mistake? Yes, I was a sucker. Because I didn't understand the ways of the people that I was communicating with. And if you're reading a passage like this and you don't understand the ways, you can miss what's really going on. You might also miss that Abraham specifically wanted the cave of Machpelah, but when you look closely, you see that Ephron added a whole field to it. And then he jacked the price up. It's sort of like, well, if you want the cave, you've got to buy the field. And then he made it so expensive, 80 years' wages for the working man. Abraham had the money. He paid the price. And then in verse 17, Ephron's field in Machpelah near Mamre, both the field and the cave in it, and all the trees within the borders of the field, because it was customary in the ancient Middle East that when you sell a piece of land, you count all the trees that are on it, and you identify them. They're part of the deed. You get the land according to its boundaries and identifying character, and you get the trees, too. They were worth something. So it says, those were deeded to Abraham as his property in the presence of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. You see, as an immigrant, Abraham didn't have the right to buy property permanently unless the town council agreed. And so Abraham had to go and humble himself. And remember, Abraham is the one who had heard from God, all this land is yours. And he humbles himself before the locals. Verse 19, afterward, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave at the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which is at Hebron in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave in it were deeded to Abraham by the Hittites as a burial site. Now, the vocabulary here seems a little general to us, but according to Robert Alter and other scholars, this is very specific language. There's a whole vocabulary here that is typical of ancient Middle Eastern documents that are conveying property. So we would miss it. It just seems sort of like normal language to us, but it's very particular language for the locals. And remember where Mamre is, Hebron. It's the place where God appeared to Abraham by that oak and told him that he would have a son. So Abraham has this tentative legal status. He needed the town council to approve his request. But in fact, before God, Abraham has higher standing than the locals do. And Abraham humbles himself before the men. It's a tough thing to do. It's tough to do before men, especially when you are a wealthy man, which Abraham was. And it's tough to do as an outsider, as an immigrant, but Abraham did it. It says he stood up and then he bowed down before them. He humbled himself before these local men. And then he humbles himself again by paying full price, which is an exorbitant price. It wasn't really full price. It was overpriced. So we know for sure that Ephron was not trying to be generous. He was taking advantage of Abraham. And Abraham didn't complain. He didn't whine. He didn't negotiate hard. And there was a reason. It was in his heart to have that place for his wife. Now, here's the interesting thing. Prior to that moment, Abraham owned nothing. At that moment, he got a deed. And do you know what? That deed has persevered from the time of Sarah's death until now. And it is like incontrovertible among archaeologists, historians, among Arabs and Jews and Christians, that the cave of Machpelah in Hebron is the exact place that Abraham bought, where he buried Sarah, where he was later buried, where Isaac and his family were later buried too. And so for one overpriced purchase, he got a piece of land whose title endures to this very day. Now, put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Not only is he mourning, but he's humbling himself before God. You know, sometimes we have a promise from God. We have a word. We have something that we receive from Him that we know is yea and amen. We know for sure it will be. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. But there are times when we have that promise that we have to humble ourselves and do things which we think we shouldn't have to do. If the land is mine, why do I have to pay an exorbitant price for it? Why do I have to pay anything for it? Now, the amazing thing about Abraham is not only does he humble himself in so many ways before the men, he humbles himself before God. He could have said, well, if God promised this land to me and now I have to pay an exorbitant price, what does this say about God? Many Jewish sages have noticed the humility of Abraham in this situation. Nechama Leibowitz, who I like quoting these days, cites a Midrash HaGadol. Let me read to you the citation about this passage. Come and see the humility of Abraham, our father, the Holy One, blessed be He, promised to give him and his seed the land forever. Yet now he could only find a burial ground by paying a high price, and yet he did not question the attributes of the Holy One. blessed be he, and he did not complain. Moreover, he addressed the inhabitants of the land with humility, as it is said, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Said the Holy One, blessed be he, to him, you did humiliate yourself. In your life I will make you a lord and prince over them. Powerful. Many times when people are going through difficulty, when they're waiting on a word from God to be fulfilled, they begin to doubt the character of God. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham had a promise that affected the entire world, because through him, all families of the earth would bless themselves. Through him and his descendants, God would make a covenant that would be the foundation of bringing forth a people, and from that people, the best of the best, Yeshua, for the sake of the whole world. Abraham had a covenant, he had a promise, and yet when he had to humble himself, humiliate himself, he did it without complaining. He did it without accusation against God. And he sets for us an example of what does it mean to be faithful to the God who calls and promises while we're waiting for the promise. And he teaches us to dig deep in order to have that kind of faithfulness to God, so that we don't think that we can tell him what the right timing is and what the right way is for things to be accomplished. No wonder that Isaiah would say prophetically what the Spirit of the Lord was putting on his heart, which is, look to Abraham and look to Sarah, the quarry from which you were hewn. Pay attention to them and their faith and their faithfulness, because they persevered and they received what they were waiting for, and they endured, and their hope did not waver, and they weren't found lacking in faith. When God comes and knocks on our door in the times of waiting, is he going to find that the person who answers his door, this door, our door, is waiting in faith or with complaint? Judging God or waiting for God? Submitting to the Lord or pressuring God? What will he find? You can't really understand this story until you step inside the culture and the times, and until you put yourself in Abraham's shoes to understand what it was like for him to wait. But God, who is so filled with compassion, takes history a step further and says, if I'm going to fully understand this people I've created, I've got to put myself in their shoes. And he came down. And he took on human flesh. And somehow the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings took on flesh and blood. You can understand the Holy Spirit doing it. But God himself, in all the ways that we think of God, took on a human body, submitted himself to that terrible experience so that he could be with us. And God wanted to give his best to us. And in order to give the best, he had to walk with us and be with us. For us, it's important to believe God and his promises during trials, especially when you're waiting for the fulfillment. Don't question the goodness of God when you're going through. Consider instead Yeshua. fix your eyes on Him who laid down His life and paid the price for us. And you know what? We are as precious to Him as Sarah was to Abraham. And that's the amazing thing. Abraham overpaid. And in a sense, God overpaid for you and for me. And He didn't complain. God Himself has paid the price for you and for me. Well, tonight's a good night for us to dedicate ourselves to serving God. There may be someone here in the room or someone listening by podcast, and somewhere in your heart and your mind you believe in God, but you've never made it perfectly clear to Him that you want to serve Him, and maybe you haven't even told yourself that. And you've thought it's enough to believe. But I can tell you this, that God is looking for more than that. He's looking for dedication and commitment. He's looking for faith and faithfulness. And so tonight's a good night to say, I want Him to be Lord and Savior. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. If you're someone who said, well, all these years I've been believing, but it's time to move forward. Lord, I thank You that You loved the world so much that You gave Your only Son. And that whoever would believe in Him and trust in Him and be faithful to Him would have eternal life and wouldn't perish. And would have abundant life in this world. Lord, I pray for those who are here who realize that it's time to step up and to come forward and to say, here I am, Lord, I'm going to serve You. I'm not going to be divided in my heart. I'm not going to be double-minded or half-hearted. I'm going to be wholehearted with You. Lord, we know that our sin separates us from You. And so we acknowledge that we have to turn away from our sin in order to come close to You. Thank You, Lord, for forgiveness. Lord, I pray for these who are turning to You, that they would receive forgiveness, they would be reconciled to You, and that they would make a decision to serve You all the days of their life. In joy, in sorrow, in difficulty, in ease, in life and death, I pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, Chris. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'yichanecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Amen.